Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is Kuige Iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Hi, I'm Tan Macy. Today, you're listening to the Friday feature on The Pulse, where we tackle an issue in depth. We'll get in the nitty-gritty of topics that matter and don't get enough airtime. And today, we're looking at the encampment at Strathcona Park. We'll talk about the context of this issue, where we are now, and where we're going. First, a backgrounder on the encampment. To residents of the encampment, it's known as KT Tent City, short for Kennedy Trudeau Tent City, in reference to the Mayor of Vancouver and to the Prime Minister. There's about 250 tents now set up in Strathcona Park, in the Strathcona neighborhood of Vancouver. The camp started forming in late June, when the Vancouver Police Department cleared Crab Park of the Tent City that had started there. But actually, the story of the formation of KT Tent City starts earlier. To do really a thorough job of talking about homelessness in the downtown east side, we should go all the way back to the first point of colonialization. Because in the City of Vancouver's 2019 homelessness count, almost 40% of the city's homeless identified as Indigenous. And by the way, that's compared to 2% of the general population of Vancouver who identify as Indigenous. But okay, a full picture of the causes of homelessness is kind of more than we can cover right now. So first, let's just go back to 2017, the Balmoral Hotel, infamous for its horrifying living conditions, was shut down. Now, as for the year, in 2018, the Regent was shut down. With just those two buildings gone, the downtown east side lost 325 housing units at shelter rates. Some experts estimated that between 700 to 1,000 people took shelter every night in one of those two hotels. That's people who were tenants, guests of tenants, and people taking shelter in the hallway. So most of the tenants were rehoused, but some advocates say that you can trace the growth of the tent city at Oppenheimer Park to the closure of the Balmoral and the Regent. Okay, now hop forward to 2020, and let's talk about Oppenheimer. March 2020, bam, the pandemic hits. People are really concerned in the downtown east side because the situation just got a whole lot worse. Here's what an advocate has to say.
My name is Fiona York. I currently work with Carnegie Community Action Project. I've been involved with the prior tent cities, Oppenheimer Park and Crab Park, and now Camp KT. Just intense stress and tension that all sort of came together, accumulated at the same time. It was the beginning of COVID. The park was extremely crowded. There are many people who went to the park, sort of new residents and new people that were at the park because they could not stay in shelters. There was no daytime shelter. There were so many other options that were no longer available. And so the population of the park, both the actual residents that stayed and then people who were there during the day, increased dramatically at that time. And there was also just the fear and uncertainty around COVID, and also with the closure of the border. So the drugs were even more tainted, even more poisoned, and that much more sort of uncertainty and instability around that the drug supply and the drugs that are available at that time. So all of those things sort of happening at the same time.
In early May, campers were ordered to leave Oppenheimer, and many people were housed. According to a province of BC statement, 227 had moved out of Oppenheimer into housing. And that sounds like a great success story. But other people have their doubts. Here's Fiona again.
Decampment process was done in a very flawed way, where people did not access housing or temporary housing from Oppenheimer Park, despite what the ministry said, despite all the reporting in the media saying that everybody was provided housing from Oppenheimer. There were quite a few people who did not access that.
And in June, after Oppenheimer closed, another tent city was started at Crab Park. And that was ordered shut too, this time by the BC Supreme Court. After that, the KT tent city found its beginnings at Strathcona Park. I asked Fiona to describe the tent city for us.
Currently at Camp KT, it's in Strathcona Park. There are probably about 220 tents there at the moment. Many tents are double or more occupancy, so probably about 250 residents or more. The camp grew from about 30 tents on June 16th, so people relocated from Crab Park. Probably there are more men than women, but there are quite a few women and people. There's a very large proportion who are Indigenous. The encampment is Indigenous-led, and it definitely a very disproportionate number of people who are Indigenous are part of the camp.
And it looks like the camp is here to stay, at least for a while, given that campers have really nowhere to go. The organizers of the camp have called for 10,000 units of housing at welfare rates to be built every year throughout BC. And that would solve the problem, but there has been no major political commitment to achieving that, and no commitment to house the campers at Strathcona Park. And here's a detail you should know about. Technically, Strathcona Park is under the jurisdiction of the Vancouver Park Board, not City Council. And just last week, the Park Board passed a bylaw amendment to allow overnight camping in Vancouver parks for folks with no other option for shelter. According to the bylaw, campers are required to remove the tents in the morning. But the Park Board doesn't really have the ability to enforce that. And besides, many advocates have pointed out that asking people to decamp every morning is incredibly destructive to their lives. City Councillor Jean Swanson even called it cruel. And so, for now, it looks like campers will be at Strathcona Park for a while. And that's a big relief to campers who have had to move numerous times.
Things that I've heard over and over from residents is that until they came to the tent city, they were displaced every single day. There's one couple I talked to in Crab Park who said that for 2 years prior to being at Crab Park, they had not slept in the same place twice ever.
Wow.
For 2 years. It had not happened. And then in Crab Park, they stayed in one place for a week. So just ending that displacement is really essential, and that would be the number one thing people are, number one being housing, and then in the absence of having the housing, just not to be displaced again.
And the big question here is safety. Are people safe in the Strathcona tent city? A news story that broke my heart in April was of an assault of a woman at Oppenheimer in the tent city there who had been held and assaulted for 15 hours. House residents of Strathcona have also reported crime in the neighborhood and assaults going up after the formation of the tent city. I asked Fiona how we could prevent incidents like these in the new tent city.
People are very motivated and interested in making this a workable community. They want to see things kept clean. They want to see things kept safe. Internally with residents, I know that people over and over from Oppenheimer to Crab Park to Camp KT have identified the reasons why they want to be part of a tent city, and it's because they do feel safer there and it is a harm reduction measure for them. So from everyone I've spoken to, even doing interviews for affidavits at Crab Park for the injunction application, people always identify that they feel safer in a tent city. So I think
and
what happens is
safer in a tent city compared to what's the other options in comparison?
The other options where people are coming from and what they were worried about going back to with the eviction from Crab Park and the injunction was basically coming from the street or coming from shelters where there's violence, there's theft, there's bed bugs, there's lack of hygiene, there's cockroaches, there's vermin, people stole things are stolen all the time, and there's a fair amount of violence and dealing and substance use in those settings, or in SROs where people also experience the same thing and feel very unsafe. And then where the other options are, people are on the street, they're on Hastings Street, they're in an alley, they're effectively somewhere in a doorway or a laneway, and all of those options are clearly very unsafe, and there's nobody to call on when something happens. And I think what happens when people are gathered in a tent city, because rightly they feel that they are more safe there, then some of the behaviors that happen in all of those other settings, people see them, there's more visibility, there's more scrutiny, there is more attention paid, and so it becomes suddenly something that's way more of a problem. If there was a death or a theft or an overdose or a needle or, whatever, any of those behaviors happens in a shelter, an SRO, you simply don't hear about it, but it happens all the time. I do work in the housing community as well, and I know those things happen in all those places, and it's not to condone or condemn either way, but I'm just want to say that many of those behaviors we see happening on the street, we see them in many locations, but when you bring people together in a group, there's a lot of attention that's paid to that group, and there's a lot of scrutiny, and so when you're looking at maybe numbers of calls or numbers of behaviors or what's seen in that location, it may be comparable, maybe even less than what happens elsewhere, but there's a lot more reporting, there's a lot more attention, there's a lot more scrutiny, there's a lot more response to it when it is in an encampment setting for numerous reasons. So there's always people who are up at the sacred fire and firekeepers who are also available to respond to emergency situations. It's sort of right from the very beginning, there's a certain standard, a certain guidance from the elder, sort of a certain standard that's upheld when people come into the community and they go to the sacred fire, as I mentioned. People are also asked to sort of do like a check-in or a sign-in kind of process where basically it's just about respecting the space, respecting the elder, participating in helping out at the camp, a little bit about where they're able to stay, a little bit about just sort of what the expectations for being in the space. So it's very intentional. People are coming into it in a much more sort of organized way, and there's sort of just a little bit more structure and organization around it. Then, as I mentioned, there are residence meetings, beginning of an effort to set up a residence council. There are different groups currently within residence that they help out in. So there's things like community cleanup, food security, sort of safety meetings, and so residents participate in all of those aspects and talk about all of those things.
And the campers' new neighbors are also supportive and acknowledge the efforts of camp organizers to make the encampment an intentional community.
My name's Kitty Lewis, and I'm the vice president of the Strathcona Residents Association. We are down there every day, and we're talking to campers, we're talking to camp organizers every day. In our view, they are Strathcona residents as well, and we have a duty to represent them. You know, we're not a NIMBY. I always like to think of it as we're a YIMBY, like a yes in our backyard. Above all else, we really support people finding homes and finding housing. And to us, that's the bigger issue at play here. And it's a super complex issue, and it requires a lot of different levels of government. So we've been working as hard as we can to kind of advocate on behalf of camp residents and also just the broader residents of Strathcona to step it up when it comes to finding increased housing for people that are absolutely desperately in need of it.
Katie Lewis emphasized that above all else, Strathcona residents who are housed support the campers' need for housing, but it's complicated.
The real issue we're dealing with is crime right now. Strathcona is the lowest socioeconomic neighborhood in Vancouver. A lot of Strathcona residents live in social housing, and we are in contact with lots of them. The kids from Ray Camp Community Center were set to start a day camp at Strathcona Park. That's a lot of marginalized kids that now, kind of have to have their plans changed. I have seen them in person turn people away that they feel can't be part of the community. I will say that, on my end, that we are hearing from Strathcona residents. I live in Strathcona. I've also been experiencing this, that there is an uptick in property crime. That's pretty significant. The other night I was sitting right beside Union Market, which arguably is the most community-driven store in all of Strathcona, and someone was trying to break into it. I have absolute empathy for what folks are going through, but at the same time, I just want people to realize that they're stealing from the lowest socioeconomic neighborhood in Vancouver. And I would say the vast majority of residents in Strathcona are extremely compassionate, but we aren't, we do feel that serious things like dog kidnappings and assaults, and we have had assaults reported to us, that kind of stuff needs to be dealt with. So we are working with camp organizers, including Fiona and Chrissy, and the Strathcona Community Policing center to kind of come up with some better methods. And, you know, we're going to have a biweekly safety meeting. And we've also been in contact with VPD, though quite at an arm's length at this point. And, you know, we are, like, we're trying to make this work as best we can, but we aren't supportive of crime against, honestly, the poorest neighborhood in Vancouver.
Katie acknowledged the efforts of camp organizers and said that at the end of the day, it's going to take a lot to find housing for everyone.
I give camp organizers credit for being very open and being always accessible to us. And you know, that says a lot. Like, we know that homelessness is an extremely complex issue. And to be honest, we're playing catch up. And catch up is extremely painful, but it's also really necessary. So, you know, we're going to continue to advocate for each and every resident of Strathcona, and that includes all of the campers in the park.
I asked Fiona what solution campers are hoping for in the meantime while housing is being found or built.
So they'd like to see an end to displacement, so not being moved from place to place to place and not being scattered. So the current bylaw amendment, which is passed by the park board, which does allow for overnight camping, is done in a way that it does meet the Supreme Court requirements for updating that bylaw to make it in line with the Supreme Court decisions around overnight camping. But it's also done in a way that is designed to not support encampments, and kind of keeps people apart and very regulated. And so it's not done in a way really that supports people currently who are in the encampment. We don't anticipate that any these measures will be applied to the encampment, at least immediately. But we also don't want to see people just picked up and made to move on or relocated. Either until there is housing available, people would either like to stay in the current location and be properly resourced. So we've got a fair amount of support from the park board so far in terms of like porta potties, running water, some misting station, access to areas that can be used for setting up food area and kitchen and that kind of thing. So it's been fairly supportive from the park board so far. So basically, people would like to see that continue so that they can feel that little bit of sense of stability and not being displaced. Or if there is another temporary location until housing is ready, that it be done in full consultation with residents and people who are impacted, so that not just an arbitrary site that's named and then regulated or, you know, enforced with security, like we've seen in other locations. There was the short-lived COVID camps in Victoria that were kind of fairly carceral and had this enforcement aspect, so not something like that, but another site that would be chosen by the residents and would have proper supports and services and be set up in such a way that it met the immediate needs of people, but ideally just people not to be displaced once again.
I reached out to Mayor Candy Stewart, who wasn't able to reply to my request for a statement by the time the story was produced. I also reached out to Minister of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, Shane Simpson, who sent me this statement. He said, quote, "Homelessness is a complex problem, but we do not believe that a managed encampment is the answer. Outreach teams are working with community agencies to support those living outside and help stabilize things. And police are also working to keep communities safe. Our government has opened more than 2,600 supportive homes across BC and has also recently purchased several hotels in Vancouver to create more urgently needed supporting housing, but we recognize others still need support. We are working with the city to also ask the federal government to step up and provide funding to match our significant provincial investments. Supporting people through this pandemic requires action at all levels of government, and we will all need to continue to work together to help vulnerable people in our communities." End quote. And as we as a society try to solve the long-standing issue of homelessness, people continue to be in need.
There's also people who come every day, people who are coming from the street, coming from shelters, coming from Hastings, coming from all over the place where they've, or maybe Pratt Park or other parks where they're by themselves, where they've heard that they can go to Strathcona. So during the night, people will show up with just like their things on their back. Some people show up with a tent. Some people show up at, you know, to say they've heard from a friend, or they stay with a friend for a few days and then they're
they want to set up themselves and become part of that community. So there, yes, certainly there are some people who went from Oppenheimer to Crab Park to Strathcona, but there are people who are coming all the time from all over the place, who are homeless, who are in need, who are in, dire housing situations where being in a tent in the park is a better situation for them. So there are people are coming from all over, people who are in need and just sort of wanting to be part of that community.
And that's it for today's Friday feature. You're listening to The Pulse on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. You can tune in every weekday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM. Or find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Just search for The Pulse on CFRO. Happy Friday!
Find our previous podcasts and interviews at thepulse.coopradio.org.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.